This is the sound of a NATO member country being attacked. The attacker is ISIS, whose fighters have found their way deep into Turkey. What you're listening to is the sound of the streets of the eastern Turkish city of Diyarbakir. That shootout earlier this week resulted in the deaths of two Turkish policemen and seven ISIS suspects, as well as the arrest of over 30 ISIS suspects. This fighting follows the worst terrorist bombing in Ankara earlier this month that left over 100 people dead. It might not be such an easy task. Reports suggest there could be up to 3,000 sleeper cells in Turkey as the Islamic State opened a new front inside a NATO member state. Saner Çayapte is director of the Turkish Research Program at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. Saner, welcome.
It's a pleasure.
So what is ISIS feeling, the weaknesses of Turkey as it scores on the streets of Diyarbakir?
Sure. Turkey, I think, faces an ISIS threat right now, both coming from Syria, because Turkey is involved in the civil war there, and that's where ISIS is born, but also from within the country, because ISIS has been using its crossings through Turkey for the last 5 years to recruit and form a base. And unfortunately, that's why the country now faces a double threat, both from within and from Syria, and the attacks in Ankara might be repeated. That's very unfortunate, of course.
Would you say the president, Mr. Erdogan, has some responsibility to answer to for here in that he supported ISIS's transit through Turkey?
I would say unwittingly and unintendedly, yes, because Turkey's Syria policy, led by the Justice and Development Party, AKP government, and its president Erdogan, was based for a long time, and I think still is, on a false premise that Assad will fall, the Syrian dictator, he'll fall, that good guys will take over, and that bad guys will be swept by the good guys when these good guys take over. None of this is happening. Assad is not falling. It's not the good guys who are taking over. It's the bad guys taking over. And for a while, Turkey thought that it would allow radicals to cross into Syria. Not that Turkey and radicals get along. They hate each other. But it would tactically allow radicals to cross into Syria because they would accelerate the fall of Assad. And that not only has that not happened, but these radicals have morphed into ISIS. So I think Turkey has unwittingly allowed the creation of that problem. But I think, of course, the root problem of ISIS is within the Syrian civil war. Turkey is not part of that process, so it's not driving it necessarily. But it now faces that massive ISIS threat because it has a 500-mile border with Syria. That border was open for a very long time, and ISIS has used that border to cross in and out into Syria. And it knows the weaknesses of the Turkish system, and it has been able to recruit from within Turkey. Now, granted, Turkey is an excellent intelligence and security system and a great police system, so it's able to crack down on ISIS, and it started doing that. But that only means that it will, unfortunately, see ISIS trying to strike back at Turkey, especially because the country has also joined the U.S. now in opening its bases to strike ISIS targets inside Syria. Hmm.
Soner Çayapte, you know, consider the change that's taken place over the last just 5-6 years. It used to be that the bad guys were always Kurdish radicals and the good guys were always Turkish soldiers. Now you've got two sets of bad guys that the Turks are fighting here. Can Erdogan make a claim that his proposals are maintaining stability in Turkey, or are things unraveling?
No, I think, unfortunately, that's not the case. Turkey faces multiple threats right now. The three of the worst terror attacks on Turkish soil took place in the last 3 years, and they're all connected to the Syrian war. Two were carried out by ISIS, including the most recent bombing in Ankara, which is the worst terror attack in Turkey's history. And another attack is linked to the Assad regime. So I would say Turkey's unfortunately executed Syria policy is in a way boomeranging back into Turkey, both in this case of attacks by Assad as well as ISIS, and now Turkey also has to deal with the Kurdish problem both in Syria and across the border, also inside its country. And I think it's really time for Turkey to take a step back and cool off and realize that its policy in Syria has not delivered Turkey greatness. Turkey thought that this would allow Turkey to become a regional player when it entered Syria, trying to change the regime there. Not only has this policy not come to fruition, but Turkey is now willfully exposed to the threats coming from Syria. So it's time for the country to recognize its commitment to the NATO alliance, come closer to the United States, and cut off from Syria to the extent that it can.
You know, what is the political alternative to what's going on in the Erdogan government? I mean, is the whole regional player idea dead? Does Turkey become like Jordan, just sort of stuck in the middle, hoping for the best? I mean, you really feel that Jordan has no power. It's just hoping for the best.
We hope not. Turkey is, of course, not Jordan. It's a much more larger country. It has strong connections to the West. It's a candidate country for European Union accession. It's a member of NATO, a big ally of U.S., has a large dynamic middle class and long democratic traditions that go back more than 60 years. Turkey has had free and fair elections longer than has Spain. But it does face problems because it's very polarized at home between the supporters and opponents of the president. Their election's coming on Sunday. It's going to be a very close race, I think. And the opponents of the government not only take issue with the government's Syria policy, but also some of his domestic policies. Erdogan is a right-wing conservative figure, and some Turks don't like this. And obviously, that has created an element of domestic polarization. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, this is a democracy. Although Erdogan is increasingly an authoritarian figure, this is not Russia, this is not Jordan, this is a democracy that has long-going liberal democratic traditions, and I think in the end, Turkey will be just fine.
I'll give you 10 seconds to call the election, Shener.
Look, I think Erdogan's AKP will win the elections, meaning it's going to come out as the first party, but I'm not sure that he's going to win legislative majority because he won't win the majority of votes, so that means Turkey's probably going to have another hung parliament in which different parties will have to work together. And that may be a good thing, that Turkey's disparate halves opposing Erdogan and supporting Erdogan might be forced to come into a coalition government, stitching the country's two parts together once again.
Soner Çayapte is director of the Turkish Research Program at the Washington Institute for Near East Policy. Thanks so much.
My pleasure.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.